Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is my co-host, Dr. Les Olala, and we have, again, the privilege of having a guest on the show, Dr. Joe Helm, who is a lawyer in Menominee Falls. In fact, works at the McClary Helm and Bertling firm. Is that right, brother?
That's correct.
And also on staff at Brookside Baptist Church. And Joe, you've been talking to us about a wonderful topic, life stewardship. And maybe you can recap for our listeners kind of where we've been. You shared a parable with us that was just outstanding.
Yeah, we looked at the parable of the unjust steward in Luke 16, verses 1 through 13. And basically, we call to attention there the reality of stewardship. And the point being that we all are stewards. Mm-hmm. If we would recognize it and accept it and commit ourselves to it. But God has designed that we are his steward. That's the reality. Therefore, there's a responsibility. Therefore, there is a day of reckoning where we're going to have to give an account. And the scripture is very clear on this. And at that day of reckoning, there will either be rebuke or there could be resounding praise and reward given. And so that parable encourages us to understand not only the reality of stewardship, but the opportunities that are available to us. And that we reconsider this fact, take advantage of the opportunities that lie before us between this day and the day we leave this earth, and that we use those opportunities for the incredible possibilities of spiritual fruit and eternal lasting reward that God promises. And this really came home to me several years ago, quite a few years ago now, when we were at our old first church, small church building, on Hampton and Lisbon there, and we were growing and we were feeling the attendance pressures, and we needed to do some partitions in the lower level so that we could have several Sunday school classes. And so I went out and I called this one company that I was referred to buy these partitions that we would have in the basement. And so I called the company. It's a large company in the Milwaukee area. And the receptionist picks up the line, and I told her I was from, you know, Brookside Baptist Church looking for some partitions. And she says, well, just hold just a minute. And I thought I was just going to get a salesman from the sales department. And the next thing I know, I'm on the line with the president of the company. And I started to ask him, I started to tell him who I was and that we were interested in getting some partitions from his company. And he just stopped and abruptly asked me, he said, brother, what are you doing for the Lord? And it was silence. I didn't know what I was hearing. It just took me totally off guard.
And then he repeated it.
Brother Helm, what are you doing for the Lord?
I'm buying partitions.
That's about what I said. And he said, no, I mean, you know, what are you doing that is of eternal significance?
Wow.
As a lawyer? Because I had told him I was a lawyer, but I was helping the church. And he said, young man, he said, I'm going to send you a book. If you will promise me, you'll read it. The title of it is Halftime by a man named Bob Buford. And I said, well, absolutely. I said, if you'd be kind enough to send me a book, I'll read it. And so he just, okay, fine. Okay, now what do you want today? And so we went on and did the partition thing. And here in the mail in the next few days, I get a book titled Halftime. And I start reading this book, and God gripped my heart through this book. The life story of a man who was raised in a Christian home, but in his latter teen and early 20s, decided that he was going to kind of just walk away from the church thing and the spiritual life walk, and he wanted to be rich. He wanted to be wealthy. And so he, in fact, did become a multimillionaire in the cable TV industry. And then one day, his 16-year-old son was drowned in a swimming accident in the Rio Grande River, and he and his wife were absolutely devastated. And so he and his wife just were devastated. They were broken. And as a result of this, they went on a journey together to evaluate what their life had been all about. To make a long story short, they came to the conclusion that the first half of their life, thus the title of the book, Halftime, the first half of their life was characterized by a drive for success, success in the world's eyes. Mm. And they had committed together, they recommitted their lives to Christ and committed themselves that the second half of their lives would be characterized by significance in the kingdom of God.
In other words, what that guy was asking on the phone.
Yes, what are you doing? And from that point forward, Bob Buford and his wife gave 90% of their time and their energies and their expertise in the cable TV industry, all the things that they had learned in preparing for what they were doing. They turned around and they used it for the kingdom of God. Mm. And what really gripped me in that book was an illustration of what would be the home run of life. They used a baseball diamond to illustrate this. And they indicated there that the first base was simply membership. Membership in the body of Christ. Coming to know Jesus Christ genuinely as your Lord and Savior. And then second base was maturity. Now, obviously, the whole life process is a maturing process, but there is a level of maturity when we understand the bigger themes of the Bible and the basic things that God expects of His children, etc. So second base is maturity. Third base is ministry, where you get connected in your local church and you're serving God mm-hmm. in ministry. But he declared, and I agree with him in this book, that the home run is missions. Not in the sense of just missionaries going to a foreign country. Missional thinking, missional living is what he's referring to. Living every waking day and moment, understanding that you are a missionary on planet Earth for the King of Kings mm-hmm. and Lord of Lords,
Amen.
And that you are going to do what he expects you to do. And that, of course, is just very minimally to bear his glory, to be a reflection of the glory of God in everything you do, say, and think, so that you are a right and accurate representation of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Recap those four bases again.
Yeah, membership, first base, maturity, second base, third base, ministry in your local church. Home run is just missional mindset. It's understanding I'm on a mission for my master.
Doc, where do you see most men in the business world getting hung up? Where do they end up parking it?
I think they park it after membership.
After salvation?
After salvation, because they get tied up in the anxieties of life. A good parallel would be the four grounds. You would find the first ground, the seed fell on hard soil, mm-hmm. never mm-hmm. penetrated. Second one fell on stony.
Mm-hmm.
The third fell on the ground that was thorny.
Mm-hmm.
The cares of life, the riches of life, mm-hmm. the pleasures of life choked that seed. Mm-hmm. So that never got beyond the initial life.
Mm-hmm.
And some would believe that even that person never got life mm-hmm. because there was no fruit that matured mm-hmm. to perfection. And I think those three things, the cares, because we all have loads.
Yeah.
If we're raising children.
Yeah.
Now with grandchildren, their cares, riches of life, how are you going to pay, and pleasures of life. And we see the very things that were in the Garden of Eden, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And I think most get hung up just in maintaining life, and anxieties begin to become the controlling factor.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be a transference of my mind under the control of God's Word, the control of the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit. And I think most people get hung up right after salvation. That's why you need to have someone who can get you off dead center.
Well, hence that question. You almost need somebody to come along and say, what are you doing for the Lord?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To get you off that base.
It's kind of a wake-up call. And really, the essence of it comes down to this issue, this word we call consecration. And really, the root understanding of that word consecration is actually literally to fill the hand. The idea is, in the picture is that you have committed to fill your hands with all that you have and all that you are, and you come before the Lord.
Wow.
And you're offering everything to Him. And David said to Solomon in 1 Chronicles 29, and to do the job of building the temple, and then Solomon comes before the Lord in prayer, and he says, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. There's his view of God. And then he recognizes, he says, for all that is in heaven and earth is thine. He recognizes not only God's person, but he recognizes God's possession. That everything, heaven and earth, all of creation, is God's. And I need to fall in line with that truth. Because if God owns all, and if God is the majestic, supreme, exalted of the universe, then I need to bow before that and say, Lord, you've given me some things here on this earth by your grace and whatever, and now what do you want me to do with it?
And that seems to me that a person who starts thinking that way has moved off the membership base, and he's now moving toward the maturity base.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's well down the road of maturity.
Your view of God, this is what we were talking about in an earlier broadcast.
Yeah, and in that context of what he's talking about in 1 Chronicles 29, where I have often, when I am asked to do a stewardship banquet mm-hmm. for a church, for fundraising for a church, that's the text that I use, because they were preparedly giving. They were willingly giving. They were worshipfully giving. Mm-hmm. And some gave out of want, as we see the analogy. And how does God's work go forward? Well, those who preparedly were in a position to let their goods be usable, they were not just reckless. They were very disciplined. Mm-hmm. The rich fool was not corrected
right.
for his expertise. He was corrected for his focus of what he was doing with that expertise.
That's very good, Doc.
And willingly, that's the heart of just excited. And then worshipfully, and this is what Joe mentioned, the mm-hmm. view of God, they lifted up their hearts acknowledging when he said, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty." And then there is that heart that says, "God, make this happen." And there was more than enough.
Yeah.
More than enough.
It seems to me that the real difficult point is going to that third base of ministry. Mm-hmm. Because now I recognize what you're saying. I agree with it. But my life is so entangled with work and just like you said, raising children and grandchildren. How do I get to that?
You need to make choices. There's no question about it. You need to make choices because you need to sit down and you need to evaluate what you are doing. Make a calendar for a month, every hour for a month. Mm-hmm. Fill in what that time commitment was and what you were doing with your time. And then you need to look at that and say, okay, what are the predominant characteristics of my calendar this last month? Is it spiritual or is it earthy? Is it carnal?
Wow.
Is it selfish? And you have to start making choices about what you're going to cut. And the hardest time to do that is the very first time you do it and really come down to the realization that I need to start doing this because I need to be giving time for eternity and doing ministry for eternity. And that's something that I do every 2 or 3 years. I have to sit down because busy people, you know, they're like magnets. They attract stuff. It's easy for us to say, yes, I'll help you with that or I'll do this, or you kind of like you're a sponge picking up new responsibilities. But every 2 to 3 years, I sit down and I take several hours to just meditate on and concentrate on my life. I whittle things down to the basics again. My relationship with Christ, my family responsibilities, and my church. I weed things down to that level. And my occupation falls into my responsibilities to my family.
Right.
And that takes a small part because all I'm doing in the law firm, there's two sides of it. One is, of course, supporting my family, but then also ministering and serving clients as a tool for ministry.
Well, Joe, this has been a delightful series, really learning about life stewardship. And until the next time that we meet again, may the Lord bless you.